counted.
Hmm? Nobody did?
I didn't either. I just wondered maybe you guys did. No.
No. I just, I was supposed to preach for Christmas, and Matt had his. He wanted to preach, which was great. He did an awesome job last week. I really enjoyed that. So you got stuck with me for like a New Year's Day service thing, right? Right. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're going to get started. And I know where the Lord wants to take us. I just don't know how we're going to get there. Okay? So we're going to let Him do His thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we so humbly come before Your precious throne this morning. Father, we look to You. You're going to give us another year. You're going to give us another day. You're going to give us another year to worship and praise and learn about You and just to watch You and look at You and moving in our lives. And just, Father, we can just praise You for it. Father, I thank You for that. I praise You, Father. The words that need to be spoken today, I pray they come from You. I must get out of the way. I'm going to let You do Your thing. Because, Father, You do it best. And I praise You for that, and I thank You. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. The title for the sermon today was, Would There Be Evidence? And I got started on this a long time ago, and I was looking at this. And, you know, it kind of fits in. I think this is a good New Year's. Show of hands. Anybody do New Year's resolutions? Not one soul. Well, sure. Why don't we do New Year's resolutions? They never work out. They never work out. You promise you're going to do something and it just don't happen, right? A friend of mine, he works out. He's a big bodybuilder, weightlifter kind of guy. And he said he hates January. I said, why do you hate January? He said, because every January, he said, I can't find a place to park at the gym. Every January. And he said, when it comes February, I can park wherever I want. He did. I'm like, you know, that ties right in. We're real great. My wife's grandma always says, we got all kind of willpower. We just don't have any won't power. Right? When you see that peach cobbler fresh out of the oven, still warm. And you got some vanilla ice cream sitting there, right? I mean, you can't. I mean, you're sitting there. You're like, yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. Two scoops. Not one. Two scoops, right? Huh? You put that. It's like, isn't that good? And you eat that, you think, yeah! You think, I probably shouldn't eat two because then people think I was a hog. Right? But you think, I bet if I eat it without ice cream, though, it won't be so bad. You see how we just get in and in. It's how we live our life. We verbalize. We try to rationalize all this stuff, right? I have a New Year's resolution for you today that anybody can do. And it's really simple. And it's really easy. And the benefits are awesome. Huh? Mm. So, back to the question. I was asked this question, and I wrote it down. It's where the sermon title came from. Matthew 10, 32 and 33. If you don't want to go to Matthew chapter 10, we're going to be there eventually. But the question was asked, if you were accused of being a Christian at your job, would there be enough evidence to convict you, or would you be found not guilty of all charges? You ever think about that? I thought about that. I thought, would there be evidence? Would people know, by the way I act at work, would they know that I'm a Christian? Would there be evidence enough to say, yep, that guy's a Christian? Or it would be like, well, I'm not sure. He kind of acts like he's all right, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really say anything. You ever think about, you know people like that at work? I have. So this is all going to tie together, hopefully, eventually. And I want you to get a grasp of the befores. I think this is a good thing. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. I want to show you something in Matthew chapter 6. Because when we do resolutions, we're deciding to do something. And usually, a New Year's resolution, what is it? It's about, no, I want to lose weight. I want to get healthy. I want to look buff. You know what I mean? That's what we do. Do we ever make a news resolution and say, you know what? This year, I'm going to talk to more people about Christ. Have you ever made that resolution? No, because we don't, right? I think the older you get, you don't make news resolutions because you know you're not going to keep them anyway. Young kids go, yeah, I'm going to do resolutions. Old people go, yeah, that don't work. You go ahead. Wear yourself out. Come talk to me when you're 30 or 40 years older. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we do. It's a resolution. So in Matthew chapter 6, I want you to see something. And Christ is actually talking here. And in 24, verse 24, he says, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve, you either love one or hate the other, or love the one or hate the other. He said, two masters. And what's he use as analogy? You can't love God and you can't love money. Mammon, money. And then he goes on to say, don't worry about your life. Your life's a whole lot more than food and a whole lot more than clothes. Don't worry about it. It's almost like God is saying, you know what? When you entrust your life to me, I got it. I got it. I got your back. I got it. So do we have to worry about work, make money, to buy clothes, to buy food, to buy cars, all stuff? He says, don't get excited about it. You're either going to follow money or you're going to follow me. And then he goes on, he says, look at the birds. You ever see a bird out planting? I don't see no bird driving track around. I don't see them. They just fly around. They don't look like a care in the world. And it says, God feeds them. And then he goes on and says, what about clothes? He says, Solomon, the richest man in the world ever, bar none ever, said he wasn't clothed like the lilies of the valley, lilies of the field. Really? They don't toil and spin. They're just flowers. They just out there and look beautiful. God just raises them up from a seed and they're beautiful. Huh? And then he goes on. He says, don't worry. The heathens, they worry. The Gentiles, they worry. And he goes, and I'm all this set up to verse 33. It says, but seek. And the Amplified says, aim at and strive after. First of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. And then all these things taken together will be given to you besides. It says, if you seek his kingdom first, the other stuff comes with it. Do we look at that? When a person becomes a Christian, do you say, you know what? Don't worry about this other stuff. You need to seek the Lord. You know what this word seek means? It's you're really after it. Brad brought up this morning. Them two guys that are walking on Main Street said, didn't our hearts burn? Their hearts burned. They were looking for something. They thought, this is cool what he's telling us. It's like, I like it. This is the first. Did you ever lose your keys? And you got to go? You go, well, they're somewhere, I guess. I'll just think about worrying about. Do you go, yeah, my keys. You know what I mean? You're looking for your keys. Friday night, me and my wife was going down to my cousin's. Dark, 6 o'clock. We're driving down the road, and there's deer, you know, so I seen a deer and slowed down deer. We turn on this other road, and to see something walking. It's 13 degrees. It's dark. There's a young woman, 20-some years old, I would guess her, in a sweatshirt, jeans, and a T-shirt walking down the road. And I'm thinking, wow. And I just seen her drive by, and I thought, no. My wife said, I think she's waving her hand. So I stopped, backed up. She says, she says, I'm house-sitting. I locked my keys and my phone in the house. I can't get in. And she's out walking down the road. That's what we're talking about. She was pretty excited about finding some way of getting back in the house. That's what it said. Seeking God. You got to get excited about seeking God. Huh? That's what it's saying. So we put her in the car and we drove to the house and she called some people and we waited probably 15, 20 minutes so people came to help her out. I didn't leave her on the road, okay, just for a disclaimer, all right? But it's the same thing. I was like, after that, the Lord was like, isn't that how you should be when you're looking for me? A little excited? Can we get a little excited about the Word of God? Huh? Not really. Okay. So, what's his kingdom? Seek his kingdom. It's his kingdom. What's his kingdom? What's God's agenda? What's his kingdom agenda? What does God want? He wants to know you. He wants to have a personal, relative, conscious, objective relationship with you. That's what he wants. He wants to have a relationship. And then it says, his righteousness. What's righteousness mean? You ever look at it? It means right standing is a real simple way of putting it. Let me. Wow. Righteousness. It is used of that gracious gift of God to men, whereby all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ are brought into right relationship with God. Wow. This righteousness is unattainable by obedience to any law or by any means of man's own or any other condition than the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I like this. The person who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the righteousness of God. Because in Christ, all that God requires a man to be, or woman, all that he could never be in himself, faith thus exercised brings the soul into vital union with God in Christ Jesus and inevitably produces righteousness of life, that is, conformity to the will of God. You get all that? It's a lot of stuff, isn't it? That's why you say, what is righteousness? It's right standing with God. It's being put right with God. Do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden? God came and walked with them in the garden, right? He walked with them, talked with them. Could you imagine in the cool of the day, God comes and says, so how's it doing, dude? I'm doing good. How about you? Oh, I had a great day. And God's like, yeah, I made some more stuff. Isn't it cool? Wouldn't it be cool just to talk with him? That's what he wants. He wants you to come talk to him. When they sinned, and they could not, they went and hid themselves, put fig leaves on, covered themselves. And it says in Genesis 3:21, it says, God made robes or cloaks of animal skins to cover them. And I think about that. The animal skins were for the man and woman to cover themselves because they knew they were naked. But they had to have animal skins on because they were no longer fit to be in the presence of God. Do you understand that? They were no longer able to stand before a holy, righteous God. God says, you know what? I got to do something about this. So I give them some clothes. We got to use blood of animals now to appease my wrath so you can have contact with me. So what did God do? In the fullness of time, he sent his son to die on the cross, to die on the cross for you. No one else is in this room right now, just you. Christ came to die on the cross for you. No one else, just you. He died on the cross for you. And we go, eh, good. That's good. I'm glad he did. Boy, I'm sure glad he did. What? He died on the cross for you. He paid the sin, death, penalty for you that you could never pay. No way. He was spotless. I'm not. I'm a filthy, dirty guy. I got some clean clothes on. Took a shower this morning. You know what I mean? Shaved. I'm a filthy, dirty guy. In God's sight, I'm a sinner. But because his son died on that cross, because he paid that price, he paid the debt for our sin, I can come boldly before the throne of God. And he says, how you doing, son? Dad, I'm doing great. I praise you. I got these things going on. You know about them. You know what's happened in my life. I'm going to praise you anyway because you know what? I know you're God and you're in control. Huh? Get a little excited about that? That's his righteousness. He made us right standing. It was right standing. It's a garment. It's what you when you believe, accept the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, he covers you. I almost like to think of it as a big old hoodie, sweatshirt. You know, it goes all the way down and covers your feet. And God says, I don't see that dirty old guy, Matt. I see my son. I see my son. That's what it's all about. We're made right with God. We can stand before him and talk to him. Huh? Let's go on. Wow. Matt last week said he had, memory showed you his notes. I got 10 pages or so here. It might be a while. It might be a while. Huh? Praise the Lord. Huh? Let's keep going. I want to take you to something. This is all tying into, okay, we're looking at righteousness. We're looking at right standing with God. God did some stuff to make us so we could stand before him and stand before someone. We could have a conversation, a relationship with him. We could. What is that called? Prayer? You know, prayer is your backstage pass. Do you ever get tickets to some place that you couldn't get in unless you had the tickets? You ever had that happen? I talked to a lady once. She played some kind of a musical instrument. She was really cool, really good at it. Some people invited her to New York City, Trump Tower, very highfalutin. I mean, I'm talking, this is nice. I mean, it's like up on the upper floors, gowns, tuxes, I mean, hors d'oeuvres. This is like live little music playing. I mean, nice. She goes, her and her husband go. They leave their tickets home. They get there. She says, I forgot my tickets. They immediately escort her to the elevator. Down, done, gone. gone. When you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you got tickets. You got backstage pass. You go backstage like, yeah, woo, here I am. God says, my son, my child, how you doing? Huh? That's a backstage pass. Prayer is your backstage pass. You go right before God, the creator of the universe. Go right before him and talk to him. Do you do it? Man, you're missing it if you don't. You're missing so much stuff. Remember I told you last time, prayer is life's biggest time saver? It is. It is. Let's go on. We're going to go to Romans 10 real quick. Got a lot of stuff. And I thought, I told the Lord, I said, where are you going to take this to? So we're looking at righteousness. So where am I headed? We know we're talking about evidence that we're a Christian, right? We're talking about, we're going to go to Romans 10. Excuse me. We're going to read verses 9 and 10. I want you to see something. Before we get to where we're going, I want you to see something. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10 says, because if you acknowledge and confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Pretty simple, isn't it? Do you understand that salvation is as close as your heart and your lips? It says 12 inches from your heart to your head. The Bible uses the heart as your emotions. It's who you are. We know the heart's just it pumps blood, right? It's just a muscle pumps blood. But the analogy is, it is the seat where everything comes from. But it has to get to your head. And then it has to come out your mouth. He says you confess. Listen to this. Verse 10. For with the heart a person believes. You have to have a heart to believe that Christ is who he said he was, right? It's not just a fairy tale. It's not a fable. It's a true story. For with your heart a person believes, and I like the Amplified here, it says, adheres to, trusts in, and relies on Christ. You believe. And so is justified. What's justified, Mary? Justified means you are declared righteous, acceptable to God. God justified you because you believe in Christ. Wow. And with the mouth. What's that say? And with the mouth, he confesses. And the Amplified says, declares openly and speaks out freely his faith and confirms his salvation. Really? So if I'm not talking about my Lord and Savior, I'm not really confirming my salvation? Ooh. All right, everybody know, what's Jeremiah 29:11 say? Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. Come on, Jeremiah 29:11. What's it say? I love this because when I read this, I went, yes! Ooh, look at this. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, plans for good and not for bad. Right? We all know that, right? Let me read you the next couple of verses. I'm going to read verse 11. It says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil. To give you hope in your final outcome. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me. And you will come and pray to me. And I will hear you. What? Wow. Listen to verse 13. Then you will seek me, inquire for and require me as a vital necessity, and find me when you search for me with all your what? Heart. Is it okay to get excited about God? Yes. So he's saying, you know what? I got these plans for you, but you've got to come looking for me. You've got to lost them keys. You've got to find them keys. They're lost. It should be the same with God. I got to go looking for him. I got to get this book open like, wow, that's what it says. Get excited. Huh? Yeah. We'll move on. Did you get anything out of that at all? Wow. Can you understand that God expects you to come looking for him? He paid a price, guys. He paid a price. I come back to it over and over. It says, what's it say in John? Well, John 14 says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This is Christ talking. He said, I'm the way. What way is he talking about? There's all kind of paths to get to where you're going, right? I can go home from here many different ways, but there's only one good one. Right? There's only one good one. What about truth? Listen to the news. What is truth? Really? We don't even need signs on our bathrooms anymore. Nobody knows. We don't know what we are. Come on. What is truth? When you take God out of the equation, there is no truth. There's no moral absolute. God is a moral absolute. Without something to gauge it by, if I can jump up and touch the wall and you can jump up and touch the wall, you got to have something to gauge who jumps the highest. There's got to be something. We'll just put a line. No, there has to be some moral truth. That's the truth. Christ is the truth. And what's it say? He's the life. He's your life. When everything else looks like it's going down the drain, he's still in control. Isn't that cool? And I know that he is. Because I read this in this book and I'm like, you know what? No matter what my outward mess looks like, my wife says she hates me. She said, because you don't care about nothing. If nothing, the kids don't get together. You don't just don't care. No, there's a point when you got to say, you know what? I can't do anything about it. I just can't do it. It's like being alone on Christmas. I can't do anything about it. If the kids have places to go, I just enjoy being there by myself. You know what I mean? I enjoy being there by myself with the Lord. Huh? I can't let it drag me down. I can't control it. It's just part of my life. Just like yours. Is your life all perfect? No. It's cold outside. You notice it was zero out this morning? And you got up and came to church? Praise the Lord. High five to you, right? Huh? Yeah. Most people are like, I'm staying home. And that would have been a smart thing probably to do. Right? It would have been a smart thing to do. But you know what? We enjoy coming out. We enjoy praising the Lord. And we enjoy being here. And you got stuck with me. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry for that in advance. But you got stuck with me. Let's go on. Matthew chapter 10. This is getting down to the nitty-gritty, guys. This is getting down to the nitty-gritty. Matthew chapter 10. These are the verses that's in the bulletin. We talk about how awesome God is to us and what He's done for us. He, because of our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have salvation. You realize salvation is it's a massively inclusive word. Let me read you this, if I can find it here. I got so many notes, I have no clue where it's at. Salvation. Let's see where we got here. Salvation is an all-inclusive word. It includes justification, propitiation. Look, big. It's inclusive. It not only has to do with your salvation. Salvation means deliverance. We're delivered. We're delivered from our sins, right? But do you understand that salvation also means delivered from harm, delivered from evil, delivered from situations? You know, it's an all-inclusive word. It includes everything. Not only because I accept the Lord Jesus Christ my Savior, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to see Him someday, face to face. That word also means that, you know what, He's going to keep an eye on you here in this world. Even when things look bad, He's still got His hand on you. He's still got a hold of you. There's some contingencies here, guy. I want you to see this. This is the part I want you to get. Matthew 10, verse 32. Christ is talking about some stuff here, and He throws this in the middle here. Verse 32, it says, therefore, everyone who acknowledges me before men and confesses me, I will also acknowledge him before my Father who is in heaven and confess him in heaven. Uh-oh. Verse 33. But whoever denies and disowns me before men, I also will deny and disown him before my Father who is in heaven. Wow. You mean if I'm not confessing Christ? Have you ever been in a situation and something happens and you just want to go, praise the Lord, and you don't? You ever been there? I'm the only one? Okay, I'm the only one that's had a hammer. Okay. When you're in a situation like that, sometimes it just seems like it's not quite the right thing to say. You know what I mean? Maybe sometimes. But it says here, if I'm afraid to confess Christ before men, He's afraid to confess me before the Father. Wait a minute, Matt. You mean to tell me that if I pray and I haven't been confessing Christ before people and I've been keeping all that to myself because it's mine? Huh? It's mine. Right? Everything that gets mine, right? Do you ever think about what would happen if how many sends parcel post, UPS? We send stuff, right? So you put an address on it and you give it to the guy. And he takes it and he delivers it, right? What happened to that guy if he took it and just kept it? Took it home. After a while, you think, man, nobody's getting my packages. So you talk to the guy. He says, what do you mean? I'm taking it home. He says, what do you mean you're taking it home? He says, well, you shouldn't have given it to me. What do you give it to me? It's mine. You give it to me. What? No, your job is to take it and deliver it, right? We have the same problem. God gives you something. He gives it to you. He gives you something. And you keep it's mine. You keep it, right? We're supposed to pass it on. We're supposed to give. Why do you think I stand up here and look like an idiot talking about the Bible? I got to pass it on. I think it'd blow up. I think it would. It's just so much stuff, and that's only two verses. Wow. So if I'm keeping this to myself, I mean, God's not going to maybe answer my prayers because I'm keeping it to myself? Wow. That's almost scary, isn't it? Let me read you something. I thought this was really cute. Book for your reading, Brad. Kingdom Agenda. Wow. Wow. I'm going to read you this to you. Suppose I'm facing a circumstance that is entirely too much for me to bear or overcome on my own. And I need to be delivered. Everybody ever been there? Just me, okay. So I call on the name of the Lord. God the Father turns to His Son. Picture this, in heaven. God, I'm praying to God. And He turns to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He says, Son, Matt McGlott just called. He's in trouble. He called on me because he wants me to rescue him from a bad situation. What do you think? And Jesus responds, Father, that Matt McGlott, he never wants to bring up my name in public. He's embarrassed about his association with me. He does not want me to influence his decision making. Whenever religion comes up, he changes the subject. He'll use your name, God, but he won't ever mention mine. He's never willing to share his faith with anyone. So if you answer this request for deliverance, all you're doing is giving him a new opportunity to deny me based on what I would recommend. I wouldn't answer his plea. Wow! Really? I read that and I thought, wow. Wow. You mean if I'm not confessing that I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior before people? Well, son, I wonder sometimes when that text, and I'll tell you what, you watch this, because now that you know this, situations will come up in your life, and you'll think, praise the Lord! You will, because it's like, praise the Lord! Huh? And people go, that's right, he's crazy. Yeah, that's right, he's crazy. There's something wrong with the boy. And I'm like, yes, there is. Praise the Lord. You want to know what it is? Huh? Guys at work say, you're the man. I said, I'm not the man, but I know the man. And I said, he don't work here. Huh? He don't work here. I know the man. I know the man. Does he know you? Does your heart burn to find more about him? Does your heart just every time you open that book, you're like, huh? When you sit there and you read and you study and you write some stuff down, and after a while you're like, I gotta quit. My brain can't take it. There's smoke coming out of my ears. I can't take it. And I have to just walk away for a little bit. I have to. There's so much stuff. And this is just one little more little nugget. You mean to tell me that if I can't talk about the Lord Jesus Christ before people, that he could actually deny talking about me before the Father? Wow, that's tough. Let that sink in. That's tough. I want to show you something. I want to show you something. We're coming to the close here, and I want to show you something. In the book of Revelation. I didn't touch half of what I wanted to, but I hope you get it through your, get it to the point. This is a New Year's resolution that if you make, will change your life. You don't have to listen to me. It ain't my promise. It's His. It's His. This is a New Year's resolution that will change your life. If I'm going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ before men, really? He's going to confess me before the Father. And there's no reason. I can't stand before Him and say, Lord, help! Help! And I can just see the Son saying, He needs it bad. We better help Him out. Yeah, He needs it bad. You know what I mean? He's got it bad. He needs it bad. You know what I mean? Revelation chapter 12. Talking about a lot of stuff here. I want to read you a couple of verses here. Revelation is the culmination of the Bible. We all know that's the last book of the Bible. It's the last book written by John on the Isle of Patmos. It is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's seeing Him in all His glory and all His power. And it's seeing the wrath of God poured out on man because of their sins. And you and I are protected from that because our Savior died on the cross for us. Let's look at this. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to start reading verse 10. It says, Then I heard a strong, loud voice in heaven saying, Now it has come, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, he who keeps bringing before our God charges against them day and night, has been cast out. Who is that? Old Satan's been cast out. He is not going to be, when this happens, he can't go before the throne and accuse you before God anymore. He's done. What verse 11 say? And they, he's talking about you and me, and they have overcome. They conquered Satan. We've overcome, conquered him by the means of the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of their testimony. What? What? For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death. The Amplified brings this out really good to me. I like holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing. Holding their lives cheap till they had to die. Verse 12. Therefore be glad, O heavens, and you that dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea. For the devil has come down to you in his fierce anger, and he knows he only has a short time left. That's God's decree over Satan. It's set in stone. It's better than stone. It's set. Satan knows he has an end. He's got a time when he's going to be done. We know there's going to be a time we're going to stand in heaven. We're going to stand before the Lord. I don't know if we're going to be able to stand or not. It's going to be so awesome. It says every knee will bow and every tongue confess. You're either going to bow because you want to or you're going to bow because you have to. There ain't going to be no choice. And he says that, well done, good and faithful servant. We had a sermon about that. I don't think it's going to be as easy as we think. But we will overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the utterance of your testimony. Isn't that great? It's a promise. It's a promise. If you're going to do any New Year's resolution this year, make a resolution to speak boldly about your faith before men. Speak boldly. And I'm just really looking forward to see what God's going to do with that. We might have some evangelists out here. Woo! We might have some people up here preaching. Woo! Huh? You won't have to listen to me. Woo! Huh? Praise the Lord! Huh? Don't forget to praise and magnify the Lord before people. There is promises in this book. There's 7,413 of them. They don't all apply to what we're doing. Like, I'm going to have a baby. I'm not going to have a baby. That's not a promise I can stand on. But I can stand on a promise that says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. I can stand on that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, guys. Father, I thank you for this time. I praise you. I magnify you. We want to just lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, our salvation, our righteousness, our God. Thank you, Father. We praise you. I just pray, Father, as this new year comes upon us, that we will have a renewed heart. We will be on fire. We will have a heart that's on fire to magnify and praise your name and lift you up before man. Father, that we can just, people can look at us and know that we're just different, because we are. We have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we're just going to tell everybody about it. There's a lot of people going to hell, Father, without us opening our mouth. They're on a one-way street. Because we open our mouth and your Holy Spirit works in our lives, they can be turned from it. And they can know you as their Lord and Savior and praise and magnify you in heaven with the saints. Father, we just pray that is on our minds and our hearts. It's impressed upon our lives. Father, that we can just praise and magnify you. Father, in your precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. I'd like to have the praise band come up. Have the elders come forward. I said, and as simple as it's accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it's as simple as believing in your heart and speaking it with your lips. It's that simple. It's not hard. It's not complicated. It's simple. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to make that a commitment for the year. Because these elders, this praise band, the people of this church, we love each and every one of you. We want to see you in heaven. You're going to be there if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a party of all parties. It's going to be a singing of all singing. It's going to be a praise of all praise. It's going to be time with God. Woo!
Hallelujah.
You can get excited about that, because it's going to be an awesome time. Let's stand up and praise the Lord today.
Thank you.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet till you find the best of you. Cause you're all you ever need. Oh. I got a
yeah, tell me you don't like that song. That is a good song.
Somebody asked me one time how they would be able to do all that. Somebody was lying.
Do what? Are you really? Awesome. You hardly any gray hair. I'm good, man. How old are you? How's work going? Keep warm?
Yeah.
How do you keep your hands warm? That's what I want to figure out.
I got a
whole idea. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Kind of close to right. Oh, yeah. That's what we were most of the time. They are. Right. I think it's because your hands can breathe. Right. Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got about all painted, siding's half done. So we're on the harbor board, came in the street,
you guys home. I'll be right behind, okay?